Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
All right. Good Friday morning. Justin, I think we're going to need to change the song to I Wear My Sunglasses at Night, because John Anthony, there we go. John Anthony is here, sitting in for Dan today.
Yes.
So thank you for coming in. And what's going on here?
Hey, listen, I was at the premiere of Uncle Tom 2 last night.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get out of there until 10:30. Got home at 11:30. Couldn't fall asleep to about 12:15-ish.
Yeah.
And I was up at 3.
There you go.
That's why I got the glasses on.
And real men just do it.
And yes. Because I can. Because
you can? Seriously, are you really going to wear those sunglasses all morning?
I don't know. We'll see. Once I wake up. Once my mind wakes up.
Well, you just let us know when you arrive at the show.
We'll do. Thanks.
Well, you made some news because you had Richard Irvin on our program on Black and Right Radio, which is here Saturdays, noon to 3.
Yes.
I'm so bummed because I wanted to call in because I wanted my $53 back.
Oh, why didn't you call?
It was out of pocket.
$53?
I paid $53 to park to go to one of his press conferences. And he literally, like, so pretend you're me.
Yeah.
Literally was this. Yeah. Next question. Next question.
So you say he dodged you?
Hello. I have, you know, because the parental agreement for, you know, abortion rights expired that day.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, if you become governor, will you reinstate that?
Oh.
And he said, yes, I will. And then he took off.
Wow.
Took off running. So well, you had the man on.
Yeah, I got him on.
Yeah. So let's, you know.
Uh-oh.
Well, first of all, did you take any heat?
I did. I took a lot of heat. You know, a lot of people felt like I shouldn't have had him on.
Well, what was their reasoning?
Well, because he's a Democrat. He's a fraud. He's a crook. You know, things of that nature. But I think a lot of people wanted to hear from Mayor Richard Irvin. And I think that's why he agreed to do it.
All right. Well, he talked about how difficult it was, how he's getting heat from both sides.
So I was getting it from both sides. I was getting it from the Democrats saying that I was evil and a crook. I was getting it from the Republicans saying that I was a Democrat. Let me tell you who doesn't think I'm a Democrat, and that's the Democrats. I wouldn't have been running against J.B. Pritzker, you know, if I was a Democrat. And you know, as far as you know, the Republicans coming at me, that was their, you know, they looked at me as a threat. You know, they wanted, you know, their candidate to win. You know, the far right folks, and they were able to spend money and effectively send a message suggesting that I was something other than I was.
And you and I discussed this before. He really is a Democrat. Really is a Republican.
He is. You know, we talked about that during the show. How when I first met him in 2007, Jim Oberweis, former Senator Jim Oberweis, introduced us, and everybody in Aurora knows he's a Republican.
Well, did you ask him about his former girlfriend?
Yeah, we brought that up.
Okay, and what was his response?
About as far as he said he never interfered with that investigation. He was just driving. He got a call. He said, hey, look, she's a friend. He's an attorney as well. So he stopped by. He said he never got involved in it, never said anything to the police or the police chief about
it. So he thinks it was taken out of context?
He definitely said it was taken out of context.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they still together? Did you ask him about
it? I mean,
that's what I would have asked.
Yeah, well, but, you know, I wanted to keep it campaign-centric and, you know me.
Yeah, but part of the campaign was that he wasn't properly vetted, and that these, you know, his past came up to haunt him and to bite him in the butt, I think, because that one campaign ad where they showed an image of
her, though. I don't believe he's still
okay, but they showed an image of a woman,
right,
you know, crying, and I don't know if that was her.
Yeah.
Because if
it didn't look like her, did it?
It was grainy.
I know her.
She was sitting there, and she was rocking. It looked like she was, you know, taking a hit off a bong, didn't it?
I didn't see that part now.
That was my interpretation of
what
it.
What time were you watching it? 3 a.m.? I don't know.
It was... You almost spit out your water there, buddy.
I
give you some Balance of Nature, will you take your sunglasses off?
Yeah, you know what? Let's do it. We'll do some shots of Balance of Nature. Okay. How about that? I need a shot.
On the Safe Tea Act, which takes place January 1st, dear Lord help us.
The act, as it exists now, will be terrible, absolutely detrimental to the state of Illinois. And the one that's going to go into effect come January 1, 2023, the no cash bail, is going to hurt our state. So what's going to happen come January 1, you know, when people are arrested for crimes, even serious felonies, they will not have to post any bail at all.
Yeah.
They just go there, slap high fives with the police, you know, and leave the jail almost like there's no real consequence. Matter of fact, that same person who was released with no bail will now, based on this act, be able to go and make an anonymous complaint against that same police officer that arrested him, that'll stay in that police officer's record for the rest of his career.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Did you find him likable? Were you guys friends before this?
Yeah, he and I were friends before this. As I said, I've known him since 2007, and we talked about that. I think he was spot on with the Safety Act. What 100 out of Dan Prof's ad, 100 out of 102
county state's
attorneys are against it.
Yeah, and Democrats, Republicans,
yeah,
a few independents in there. It doesn't matter. But there are just, you know, we had LaShawn Ford on yesterday.
Yeah, I heard a great interview.
And he's for the Safety Act.
Yeah. You look at where he's from.
But still. You know, a poor guy steals, so he goes to jail, and he can never bond out because he doesn't have cash. Right. Well, guess what? You shouldn't have stolen in the first place. Yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah. This wimpy society we're creating. 312-642-5600. Let's go to Brian in St. John. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, guys. I heard a lot of the interview on Saturday, and I'm in Indiana, so I don't have a horse in the race, and thankfully I didn't have an opportunity to vote for him or anybody, but... one of the things, I'm in the process of pulling voting records for all my local school boards and candidates, and one of the answers he gave you on Saturday was why he has so many Democrat ballots.
Yeah.
And I actually did appreciate that answer, and it gave me a different perspective to look at what these people are doing in my area. But I just, I don't particularly like him, but it's odd that he wouldn't have explained that to the people 2 months ago.
Right.
So that's all I got. I just appreciated his answer because it was, you know, a different perspective.
Yeah, and Brian, are you running for school board?
No, I'm just hawking these people. I'm just being the watchdog.
Good for you.
I'm a journalist at heart.
Yeah.
They asked me to run, but I told them, no, I'm more valuable with pulling records and things like that. So that's all I got. Thank you.
What's the skeletons in your closet? I'm just kidding.
And I think he's speaking about how he said he went and he was running and he was an alderman. Running in local elections, so then they were nonpartisan, and he also said, "Listen, there was in Aurora, there was no Republicans on the ballot, so I had to choose, you know, to vote. I mean, I wouldn't have done it, I haven't pulled a Democrat ballot since 2000, maybe 99, 2000, I think it was.
I think 2010 was my first Republican ballot in a primary, but sometimes I would pull Democratic ballots because I wanted to choose candidates, you know, that I wanted." Because I didn't think that they'd win against a Republican challenger.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You know how that
makes
goes.
Sense.
Him on Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And I made it clear, standing on that grassy knoll, giving that speech, that, you know, I do support black people's lives, but I support every single life, black, white, Latino, Indian, Asian. We all matter. And I don't think we should be separating, you know, groups of people and putting more or less value on their lives than everybody else.
So, you know, that's pretty much what he said during the entire campaign.
Yeah.
Was that, you know, Black Lives Matter, but people took offense to that because he let Aurora be burnt down to the ground.
Yeah.
Well, not down to the ground, but, you know, there were a number of arsons.
Yes, a lot of damage. A
lot of damage. Millions of dollars worth of damage.
Yeah. And I mean, I hold to that same thing. I despise the BLM organization. I think it's a wing of the Democrat Party. It's a fundraising wing. And if you saw Uncle Tom 2, they actually go into BLM and Patrice Cullors. I mean, it really was Uncle Tom 2. I'm telling you, that's probably one of the best documentaries I've ever seen in my life. Better than Part One.
Better than Part One? What do they focus on? Just BLM and Antifa?
No, they really dig into the historical aspect of Black America. They talk about the Harlem Renaissance, and how the Black culture didn't start degrading the Black culture until government started getting involved. And they talk about how they used the so-called preachers and, you know, to sully the message and to soften the message to Black culture. And, I mean, when you think about it, despite everything that Black people did, their ingenuity. And personally, I think these are the things that we need to talk a lot more about. You know, we talked about Black Wall Street when it was destroyed. But nobody knows that in 1921 it was destroyed. 1925, it rebounded.
Oh, it did.
I mean, you know, these are things that are not taught in educational systems because, you know, Black people are survivors and they're strong and they're proud. And I thought that documentary put it so succinctly in how we go back to fix Black America.
And really Larry Elder's a producer?
Yes. He's the executive producer.
Okay, and Chad was he Jackson. There last night?
No, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West and Chad Jackson were there last night. And I moderated it probably about 30 minutes after the viewing.
And took questions from the audience?
We didn't take questions. We didn't really have that much time.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good showing, though?
A lot of people.
Now, where can we see it?
I do believe you can go to Uncle Tom. You can go to 560theanswer.com and you'll see the...
Is it on Salem Now?
Salem Now, that's it.
Okay, that's what's brought. So yeah. Salem's the executive producer. I should know these things. I do work here.
I believe they
Thank
have
you.
but it's. I mean, it's. You got to go out and watch. I said to myself as I was leaving, as I was driving home, I would love for Black people to watch this, just to have a different perspective of Black America and white people. I mean, there are a lot of. I think white people are coming out and they're wanting to be armed. To have these discussions, because I said last night, I blame you white men because you're cowards, because you've separated yourself from the conversations. In order to really change stuff, all voices have to be there to be accepted. You know, you can't shun. And I think that's why white America, especially the white male, his voice is missing. We got to restore that voice.
Well, culture is teaching the white man that they're bad, that they're evil.
Correct.
That they're somehow racist because they're not Black and they can't experience or feel.
Right.
And then sometimes you have their powerful lefty wives telling them that too.
I said that too.
Taking away all their masculine tasks throughout the house.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll do it because I'm a woman and this is what feminism looks like. 312-642-5600. Let's go to Craig in Mount Greenwood. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, Amy, and good morning, John.
Hey, good morning,
buddy. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Amy. Hey, listen, just like this movie that exposes the truth, just like Dan and you were talking the other day about getting in trouble with that Lion Lori lightweight there and his pack getting in trouble, because the left exists in absolute lies and deceit. And when you basically even ask them a question or put them on the spot with the truth, it just gives them an opportunity to take and lie and deceive. And basically, and it's the politicians, it's the media. Media is the worst. That's our worst enemy.
Yeah.
And so something like this movie, it is absolute, like, so powerful and everything in two directions. One, to help us know what the truth is and everything, but to get them so aggravated and annoyed that they will attack even harder. And I mean, the left I'm talking about.
Yeah. Thanks, Craig, for the phone call. So what's the difference between Uncle Tom 1 and Uncle Tom 2?
I think they went more into a historical aspect of Uncle Tom 1. You know, really quickly, I was listening to the LaShawn Ford interview, and I saw my buddy George Pearson's post. He said, you know, mostly the time when Black people hear that I'm darker, you know, she should have just simply said, wait,
we'll talk about that.
Okay, because I got something for that.
Oh, we want to hear your opinion.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook or read about it in the paper. Hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Business owners, now's the time for your business to make the move to a locally owned business bank. Hi, Mike Gallagher here to let you know that you don't have to look far. Signature Bank was founded in Chicago with a simple mission to help companies like yours grow, succeed, and thrive. Their decisions are made locally by a terrific team that knows your name, cares about your business, and invests in your success. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. I'm a customer. As business owners, they knew that local family-owned businesses were not getting the help they needed or deserved. So, I invite you to reach out to my friends at Signature Bank today. Write the number down. Remember this phone number, Signature Bank, 773-467-5630, and learn all about this great bank, 773-467-5630, or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
All right, some house cleaning issues we got to take care of real quick. Have you heard the news?
What news?
Tavern on Rush is closing.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah, they're calling it quits. We don't know why, but they just released a tweet out saying that they are, quote, Gold Coast staple owned by Phil Stefani announced it's shutting down permanently when its lease expires at the end of the year.
Oh, my. That's huge.
Yeah, because, I mean, who goes downtown?
Not anymore.
But what's going to happen to the Viagra Triangle? What are old men to do?
Oh, God.
Those are their granddaughters, right, that they're walking around with?
Yeah. Okay. Pretty much.
All right, so the station's made, well, not the station, but Dan Proft and his super PAC have made some news because of, you know, the ad that it was seen around the country now. He's been on local television. He's been on national media. Did you see him with his walking down the street for Sarah Schulte's package on Channel 7? I'm like, oh, dude, come on. It's just comical. But were you offended? Do you think Mayor Lightfoot is right, John Anthony?
But to use the oldest racist tropes that there are to make the scary black woman even blacker, to show scary black men on TV, and to say to the suburbs, i.e. the white people, you don't want this coming to your town, so vote for Darren Bailey, that is the height of racism and cynicism, and we don't need it anywhere, certainly not in our politics, and we definitely don't mean it if we're going to try to bring people together and solve problems. I believe very strongly in regionalism. I have done that from the very beginning of my administration. We have so many things that we can work on together: transportation, water policy, the environment, and of course, public safety. But an ad like that is so offensive, it shouldn't even be part of the public discourse.
Didn't alter anything.
Yeah,
and that video is all from Chicago. They got that video
we can prove that that's not true.
Then prove that it's not true.
Right.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA. Then a quick comment, because I gathered the reporters around and said, watch this.
Yeah.
Craig Delamore, he was there, Sarah Schulte, and a bunch, Tamon Bradley, and I said, you know, just look at it. Every single shot of violence was on their air, was on 7, was on 9, was on BBM. So the fact that she's lying about it, it just bothering me. But you, as a black man,
she missed a perfect opportunity.
Clear your throat.
Well, what she should have said,
yes,
was the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice, baby.
But when you see the ad, because you know she does look different in different light setting. Like I look different,
but
you look different
package,
in different. So. Right. It was a sinister, dark, scary, and not meant to scare people, but it's just showing what reality is like, we're living with. Last night, two women were shot, West Rogers Park, one in the forehead, one in the neck. They were sitting in a car in a park. It was 10 p.m. at night. Someone came up and shot them. And then, the day before, we had four shot at outside of Schurz High School. Two of them were CPS students. One was shot in the face, still in critical condition. The weekend has spread to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Joy.
Yeah, and then this Bucktown couple. Listen to this. I don't know if you saw this video. They were ambushed. They were walking home Saturday night. It was dark out, and somebody came up to them. Three black men jumped out of, like, ambushed him, jumped out, put a gun to the head right here, another one on the wife. And they explain it.
Not knowing if you're going to be alive, if you're going to be shot, it's a feeling that no one should ever feel. It's the most terrifying feeling I've ever felt.
They open up the doors and, like, immediately, you know, it's nefarious. They all had guns.
It was like an ambush.
Yeah, they start rushing towards us up the sidewalk. We try to make a break for it.
Is it enough to move out of the city of Chicago?
I'm a Chicago guy through and through. So really sad, really depressing. I'd love to raise my kids here. We still may, but I never gave thought to moving until probably the past year or two.
And what's your exit plan? You know, that's what is our family's breaking point?
Right.
Well, I'm out. The catalytic converter being stolen? Is it, you know, your car being smashed, the window, the smash and grab? Is it your 17th bicycle stolen from your garage?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, our family, we've had 17 bikes stolen.
What?
From when I lived on Kenmore, then to Grace, and where I stay now.
Yeah, and the problem
is... total. But I've been here since... I've been back here since 1996.
The problem is so many people can't move. You know, mortgages, you know.
Oh, right now? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, where are you going to go? You can come out to the south side. I mean, Joliet, Manuka area. Come on, Amy. Come on.
I went to visit you once, and I was heading. I'm like, am I there yet?
I know. It's far. People don't understand. That's what I say when I drive in here. It's like an hour's drive.
So people that are staying are actually, and these are liberals.
Yeah.
Concealed carry.
Oh. When you live in the city, that there's some level of risk, but it definitely feels a lot closer to home when it's in your neighborhood.
Definitely very unnerving. He travels for work, so I have to walk the dog at night. And I always have felt pretty safe around here, so definitely scary to hear a story like that.
We need to get tougher on crime. Like it's almost like it's legal to go rob people at gunpoint.
It's almost like it's legal
to go rob people
at gunpoint. Isn't like that says so much.
Yeah. It is in Cook County. I mean, think about all the people that have committed gun crimes that are in Cook County that are either on house arrest, electronic detention, you know, or they should be in jail. But
I told Dan this story. I was dropping my son off at beach volleyball. It was about 3 weeks ago. And this couple, they had a puppy. And I had Bubba with me. So, you know, Bubba runs to see the puppy. And so I looked down because it's a puppy. And she's got electronic monitoring on.
Yeah.
And she's getting her drink on. So I said, what are you in for? Because I don't care. I want to know. I'm nosy. Yeah. I can't help it. And she said, carjacking. And so I said, well, what's the deal? She said, well, so we get 24 hours to run errands. This is running an errand? Okay, this is, you know, they were running an errand because they let them. So they're out enjoying. She scared the hell out of somebody, probably destroyed somebody's life, probably forced them to move out of the city that they love. And she's getting her drink on with her cooler and her new puppy. I mean, she was nice to talk to, whatever, but. It is such injustice that's going on.
You weren't driving, though, were you?
No, I was walking my dog.
Good.
I'm saying that's why I walked down and saw her. Yeah. We were at the beach.
Oh, gosh.
Unbelievable. 312-642-5600. Oh, look at this.
Uh-oh.
The Amish texter.
Oh, here we go.
Hello, Amish texter. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I love to hear my friend John on.
Hey, buddy.
But, John, I was working in the wood shop, so I had a lot of noise going on, you know, working, making those excellent heater mantles. Did I hear you? I might have misheard. I heard the darker and scary the mayor of Beetlejuice. Is that what you said?
No, he said
the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
The darker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
I know there was a lot of noise there. But I'll tell you what. Shout out to all my white suburbanites down in Country Club Hills, Matson, Richardson Park, Olympia Fields, you know, Chicago Heights Park Forest. I'm telling you, I mean, that mayor, she's so right on. You know, she's scaring all them white people down there. You know, it's just terrible.
I mean, it's as if she doesn't know what's going on, and she doesn't know the racial makeup of suburbs. First of all, she thinks everybody in the suburbs is white. Not true.
Yeah.
And then people in the suburbs haven't been coming to the city for a long time.
No.
Hence the reason why we are in debt, and stores and restaurants like Tavern on Rush are closing because no one's coming to the city. Because why would you?
I think the summer of riots of 2020 really scared a lot of people away from Chicago.
It scared me. I lost my mind in the summer of 2020, right, Justin? Justin has some audio of me absolutely losing my mind, but I don't know if I'm ready to play that.
Because
it was my breaking point. It was when these guys were, it was day three of the riots.
Yeah.
So the first day was Michigan Avenue, and then the south side, and then they took it to the north side. And it was a, you know, peaceful protest, Mike, but on Montrose and Lincoln Avenue. And then after that, it just was chaos. And people are smashing windows on our streetcar windows. And then they grabbed the ATM out of the bank down the street, Marquette Bank down the street from our house. And I lost my mind. But we
automatic bankers, huh?
That'd yeah, automatic bankers, yes. Verlon on the south side. Oh, boy. Hi, Verlon.
Hey, how's it going, Amy? What's up, John? You know, this mayor, she's a joke. If not for the race car, Democrats would have nothing. And it's just a way for them to distract from the issues. And, you know, the bad part about it is black people fall for it every time because a lot of us are emotional. And that's it's just a shame.
Yeah. And Verlon, you really missed Uncle Tom, too, last night because it delves into that, you know, about that aspect of the black culture. And, I mean, you're right. If you lose the – and this is why they play it every time. You know, if you lose it, what else do you got? You have nothing else. There's what else could they say?
Right.
Nothing. What else can they? I mean, this is one of the ways that leaders in these urban centers, this is how they maintain their power. They come with that emotional argument about race when there's no issue of race involved whatsoever.
So they're stirring the pot for no reason.
But John, when are we as black people gonna wake up and stop being so emotional and erratic and just because someone mentioned something about race? Why can't most black people separate ourselves from the issue?
Yeah.
Stop harping about race. Like, I don't get emotional when people talk about race. You don't either. But most black people, they just get enraged like they want to fight. They want to fight me when I have a conversation about it. Why? You just act like you don't feel anything.
Yeah.
It's like beating your head up against a wall.
I don't think it's most. I wouldn't go as far
Thanks
to say
on.
It's most black people. I think there's a contingent of black people. Now, I wouldn't say most because I believe. There's,
now it's white people.
Yeah.
Who are all can't talk about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, how
to my
you,
point earlier.
Exactly.
To my point earlier. And I think that's the missing piece of that conversation, you know, about race. And so many people are afraid to have it because they're afraid to get canceled. They're afraid of being doxxed. They're afraid of all these different things.
Afraid of losing their
losing
job.
Losing their job.
Or friends.
You know? Yeah.
Marty in Naperville, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi, I got a question. When you guys all go to these press conferences with Lori Lightfoot and she starts condescendingly talking to everyone and blah, blah, and very forceful, why do you have a question like, well, then prove it? Why doesn't somebody say, lady, why don't you prove something you have to say? How come all the reporters are so sheepish around this woman?
I'll tell you.
All she does is raise her voice to you guys.
That's good
I know. No, and
good
so
point.
Does Pritzker. Pritzker does a lot. Yeah. All right, here's the dude. Here's the dude. Here's the deal, excuse me. You're allowed two questions. And then they literally take it away. So you can try and scream.
Don't use your two questions forcefully. Ask her, lady, then why don't you prove what you say? Because nobody ever questions her about anything. She can say anything she wants. Well, we can prove that. No, she can't.
Well, next time I see her, I'm going to say, you mentioned this. What proof do you have? Where did that footage come from? I will ask that.
Be more forceful to it. Stand up and demand an answer. Don't ask an answer. If they cut you off, they're going to cut you off anyway.
Okay.
I agree.
Thanks, Marty.
Sorry. I agree, Marty.
No. I appreciate I appreciate the tip.
I agree, Marty.
I demand
Yeah,
the
that's
trip.
Right. You know, listen, when did government become so punitive and feel like they can just talk down us and say whatever they want? You know, you don't work for, we don't work for you.
You work
for
us. I know.
And make them, and remind them of this.
Oh, yeah. Well, but we're spreading misinformation. That's what we're doing with Pritzker, spreading misinformation. No, we just want to know where you're getting your science and data from when it comes to masking kids for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
For keeping them out of school for a year. That's what we wanted, but we couldn't get that.
And they still haven't produced any of that.
No,
data, right?
Still.
Yeah, of course.
Because they just say, why don't you Google it?
Yeah. No, you give it to me.
Yeah. Ugh. Philip in Blue Island, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hi, Philip.
Hey, good morning. It's been a minute. It's kind of weird because I'm a White Sox fan, so I'm always going to the White Sox. And then people that I know out in the suburbs go to the White Sox or go down to the air show downtown or go to the beaches downtown or go to the museums. And but a lot of these people are from the suburbs. So this whole concept that people from the suburbs don't come to the city is to not call it a lie, but it's misinformation, if you will. So and Lori Lightfoot, I mean, just think what the Mayor Daley's, how they used to talk to the black community and how Republicans
wasn't right then either.
Talk to the black community. It's like blacks just commit all the crimes. It's like your ads today or your reports today. It was the reports of a lot of white people saying this happened and that happened. Well, there are no reports of black people saying that you know, all black people don't commit crimes. So your station puts out this narrative and it makes it seem like all of Chicago, especially all of Chicago.
Philip, the facts don't lie. 80% of crime, or 85%, is black on black.
Yeah.
And that what's in those videos is...
It's factual.
Is what happened. You know, we can't... Or maybe they're Hispanic. I don't know. I can't see. It's grainy video.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't doctored, it was...
Not all crime is committed by black people.
That's true.
That's factual. He's right about that.
And I'll find out which part of the footage Mayor Lightfoot says isn't from Chicago.
Connect with Dan and Amy on the AM 560 The Answer mobile app. Just text the word app to 64636 to download the app today. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560 The Answer.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today. 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Signature Bank.
I love this song.
Sad little man, gonna trap you like a dog, put your head in a net while they eat you.
All right, that's Five Times August singing a song that we've embraced here at Chicago's Morning Answer. Sad little man, referring to Dr. Fauci, who announced his retirement. But he's not going to leave public life. He's just going to start the next chapter. And my favorite riff was Tucker Carlson. You know, one of those... Where were you when you heard the news that Dr. Fauci, St. Fauci, was going to step down?
Imagine the pandemonium at SoulCycle Studios across the Northeast this morning when Tony Fauci announced his retirement. Ugly doesn't begin to describe it. Picture the chaos, if you can, in the organic chaga aisle at Whole Foods in Brookline. Try to envision the panic and hysteria that must have broken out at espresso bars in Edgartown, in Aspen, in Santa Monica, in Bethesda. Is thousands of masked ladies in Lululemon discovered all at once that the one religious leader they still revered, their own even tinier version of the Dalai Lama, had decided to retreat forever from public life. It was, ladies and gentlemen, the equivalent of a targeted nuclear device detonated over the most emotionally vulnerable elements of our most privileged population. You can picture the carnage, the wailing, the swooning, manicured hands clutched to breasts, then fumbling for Xanax and expensive handbags. Not since the orange man seized the White House in a Russian coup have more 46-year-old Cornell-educated lawyers with weak husbands wept shamelessly in public.
Oh, my God. Lululemon's happy.
Manicured hands clutching their purse and reaching for their Xanax. So the reason why we're bringing this up again is because on Monday, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
In Washington, D.C., where these people live, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Walensky, Obama. Well, the Obamas still actually do live there. They still have their house there. On Monday, the District of Columbia is not going to be letting in unvaccinated students. They are banned from attending schools in person this fall if they are not vaccinated.
Oh, my.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 646-3636, type in DA, then a quick comic. Now, they can attend school in person for the first 20 days, but if they do not hand in their vaccination cards for COVID, they're going to be kicked out of school. And to make matters worse, they're not even having online learning for them.
COVID's that smart, huh? It after 20 days, it'll come back. It'll leave. It'll pause. This is a smart vaccine.
The mayor, the D.C. mayor, Muriel Bowser, who's doing this. And Washington, D.C., 68% of Black and Hispanic students are not reading at grade level. And 40% of the students are not vaccinated that are Black and brown. And she is so out of it, listen to her when a reporter asks her, almost half of your student body is not vaccinated, and they're the Black and brown kids that need school the most.
I don't think that number is correct. We have a substantially fewer number of kids that we have to engage with vaccination. And I explained why it's important. It's important for the public health of our students and that we can maintain safe environments.
The data that they got was from the city. The data that that the Daily Signal asked Bowser about, 40% of Black age kids 12 through 17 are not vaccinated.
Yeah.
That came from their own city data.
Did you hear the last two words she said? Safe environments. You mean all the daily shootings that's happening in the Capitol right now? You're more concerned about kids going to COVID when you got all these people dying from being shot, people getting carjacked, people being robbed, and this is what concerns you? Get a life, Mayor.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. Also, the big news yesterday. Our beloved Dr. Allison Awardi, health commissioner from Chicago Public Health Department. Folks, last night, for the first time in the pandemic, I tested positive for COVID-19. I'm experiencing some cold-like symptoms and a fever, but I am otherwise well, which I credit to the fact that I'm fully vaccinated and boosted. I will continue to work from home while following the CDC guidelines for isolation. I want to remind all Chicagoans to get up to date on the COVID-19 vaccines, which have proven to be incredibly effective at protecting against severe outcomes from the virus. We've made great progress against COVID-19, and I thank everyone who has made the decision to get vaccinated to protect themselves and their communities. But the virus is still out there, and we have more work to do to put the pandemic behind us. Sincerely, Dr. Allison Awardi.
I feel like somebody's about to whack me right now with that music coming on.
Watch your back. Yeah. But not only her, Jesse White.
Yeah.
Secretary of State. The oldest, he's been a politician forever. He tested positive too. He's fine. He's doing well. Now he's elderly.
Yeah.
And he doesn't mind if I say that because he's elderly. Yeah. But he's going to be fine. But they both double vaccinated, both double boosted. So the fact that, and they're fine, and they're going to be fine, but kids, it is the smallest risk group. Kids do not get, and if they get COVID, sometimes they don't even know that they have it.
Right.
And they're locking out 40% of the Black and Hispanic kids from going to school on Monday. I just think it is pure, pure evil, and I don't know when we're going to drop this bullshit, because you never got vaccinated.
No, and guess what?
What?
I'm okay.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. And I remember I used to pass a little judgment on you.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
Still do.
Well, I was
a little
worried.
Bit.
No, I don't. I was worried about your health.
Yeah.
And I thought, uh-oh.
Yeah.
He better get vaccinated. But now it was all a lie. I mean, even Dr. Birx came out and said, we oversold the vaccines.
Yeah.
That it was some cure-all. Remember when they'd say if you got vaccinated.
Some of us knew that.
You're going to be, you won't spread it to other people.
That's right.
That was my favorite. That's why I did it. I did it for the greater good for other people.
Yeah.
And it was a joke.
I just stayed away from people, you know, using my good common sense to say, you know what? I got this. Let me stay away from people.
And I like to hear from you people who put out a fake vaccination card.
I know a few people.
I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people who did it to get into Lollapalooza 2 years ago and for other things. But we had to live. Yeah. But then other people were hell-bent and like, no, I am not doing that.
Because we were living. We were living then when they told us we couldn't live.
But there was a time. Remember last December where you couldn't go to a gym, a restaurant, a store, a McDonald's Playland, a theater, a bowling alley, kids. And then
you guys couldn't.
There was no school either. So for 5 days, we couldn't go to school. If you weren't vaccinated, you couldn't do anything. My son went to Meatheads with his friends. They wouldn't let them eat in and sit there together because they weren't vaccinated.
Yeah.
Kendall County, traumatizing.
Kendall County?
Yeah.
We were still living our lives.
You were? Yeah. You couldn't get your hair cut?
I was getting my hair cut. You know that. I was getting my hair cut. I was going to boxing. I mean, I was eating at McDonald's. Some McDonald's shut down. But see, you know, those of us who are outside of Cook County and all of the other tyrannical counties, we were still living. And we didn't stop living because we knew. We saw the farce. We saw how this was one big ruse. Hopefully, YouTube doesn't knock you down.
Novak Djokovic cannot play in the U.S. Open because he's not vaccinated.
I read that.
Sadly, I will not be able to travel to New York this time for the U.S. Open. Good luck to my fellow players. I'll keep in good shape and positive spirit and wait for an opportunity to compete again. This international travel guidelines for the Center of Disease Control. Non-U.S. citizens and non-U.S. immigrants, quote, must show proof of being fully vaccinated with a primary series of an acceptable COVID-19 vaccine before you board your flight to the United States.
Wow.
Only limited exceptions.
Did you hear the Attorney General's office when Tom DeVore was battling them and they said, these were just recommendations. Did you guys play that audio at all? When Tom DeVore was battling, I think it was IDPH.
We didn't.
You didn't play that audio? No. When they basically said it was, you did? It was just like a hamburger.
Oh, my God. Oh.
That.
Yes,
I mean,
Mike
we
did.
Knew this then. We knew this. There are some of us who were trying to scream it from the rooftops. But we've been counseled. I no longer have my YouTube channel. It's completely gone.
Really?
No YouTube channel whatsoever.
We got yanked off of YouTube, by the way.
I'm completely.
Hey, Justin, get on the mic. Why did we, we've been pulled, I think this is our fourth time. Why were we pulled from YouTube again?
Well, this time was from a show in 2021, June 9, 2021.
I mean, seriously?
Yeah, and apparently it was the whole show, so that YouTube directed us to the rules about election misinformation. So
it wasn't about the vid, it was about
election. No, we think this one was about election misinformation. Well, Miss Google's definition.
How long are we in YouTube jail?
2 weeks.
Oh.
Jail, I'm done.
So we're on the AM560 YouTube, though.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I mean, don't tell them. Then they're going to call on that one. Chris and Carrie, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning. You know, what I'll say to these parents of the school district in D.C. is just get a fake vaccination card. I mean, why not? We all know that, at least to my knowledge, that a vaccination doesn't affect transmission rates. So what's the difference? You know, if you could still go to school and transmit it, whether you're vaccinated or not,
right?
Who cares?
I mean, again, the D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser announced that they will not be allowed to start school on Monday, either remotely or in person, if they are not vaccinated. I mean, this is pure evil. And when will it end? But this is the thing. Dr. Fauci, Dr. Walensky, calling these doctors, stand up. Yeah. Meet with her, have a press conference and say, this is wrong.
Yeah.
This is affecting black and minority kids. This is what, because they know the science and the data.
Yeah.
They know damn well what they're doing. And this is the time for them to, as Mayor Lightfoot says, step up and help kids.
Yeah.
Making them go through this a third year in a row and not giving them access to any educational materials, cutting them off.
Yeah.
If they don't comply and die, she should lose her job.
I'm wondering.
This is sickening.
I'm wondering if we'll see what we saw in New York and Florida in the school boards. You know, I think that's how we make it.
Well, 30,000 New York has lost 30,000 public school kids. L.A. has lost 20,000. We here we've lost 10 so far, but I know that that's not the truth. I know that the numbers because my neighbor just got up and left, and she had three kids.
Right.
Just yanked them out of CPS. Because there's possibly going to be a strike again.
Yeah.
Not this year. Thank you, Jesus. But, we've been through five.
Yeah.
Four and then one work stoppage when they just decided this year in January, this same year, not to go to school for 5 days because of COVID.
Wow.
And then they patted themselves on the back and said, well, we did that. And the CTU, we saved lives. That's how they, you know, please give me a break. Susie on the north side, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning.
to both of you. Great show this morning. Have either one of you read by Robert Kennedy Jr., The Real Anthony Fauci?
I
have not, but he has been very vocal and has written a book about it. Why? What? Anything you want to share with us, Susie, about it?
Oh my goodness, it is shocking, shocking about Fauci. I mean, you mentioned a few minutes ago evil. He's the evil one. It's just shocking. And this guy, Kennedy Jr., has facts and figures. So you might want to pick that up and read it. It's pretty bad.
All right.
You know what? I can't read it all at once because it infuriates me.
Yeah, and how much power he had over even President Trump. President Trump listened to everything he said.
He was afraid.
Shame on Trump. Well, Trump should have fired him on the way out. Yeah. That's one thing.
I mean,
well, is there one little nugget? Is there one little nugget you can share with us?
Well, back in the day, during I think it was the 80s with the AIDS, the CDC was going broke, so they created something so that they could generate money. I mean, it's all about money and pharmaceuticals. And he also stated that we developed a lot of problems when Fauci got in there, meaning more diabetes, autism, all kinds of illnesses for children and for adults when this guy got in there. I mean, it's really, really bad. And, you know, I tried to tell my friend about it, and she says, you know, it's funny. I don't see Fauci suing, so the stuff must be true. It's really something,
true.
Amy.
Thanks, Susie, for the phone call. I appreciate it. And remember that docuseries he was going to have on Netflix?
Yeah. Canceled.
Failed. But Pfizer is asking the FDA to authorize an updated COVID vaccine for the BA.4 and BA.5 that they hope will be out after Labor Day. And I can tell you, John Anthony, I will not be getting this shot.
What? Where's the hand clap applause?
Oh, yeah.
On that one.
I will not. I'm not going to do it. I mean, just not going to do it. And by the way, in case you missed it too, Pritzker extended the COVID emergency powers for the 33rd time. That happened on August 19th, and I figured it out why he's doing this. He's going to do this up until, guess what month?
Election, November?
Yeah, he's going to do one in October, maybe November, maybe not after the election. But if you are a school teacher anywhere in the state of Illinois and you get COVID and you have to be out sick, you don't have to count your sick days.
Oh.
It's just free time at home.
Oh.
For that, not just CPS, the entire state of Illinois. Any teacher that gets sick with COVID, it's not docked against their sick days. That's a great gig.
I mean,
you don't even have to prove it. So you can just say, oh, I have COVID, and then you get 5 days off without being docked.
Yeah, and that's why he fully...
It's a win-win. Not saying that all teachers do that, and I love my kids' teachers.
Yeah.
But there are some teachers who do not want to teach, just like there's people who don't want to work in different professions. There's always, a bad apple in every
bunch. Mediocre.
Right, they're just getting by.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's my prediction.
You know, one of the...
So he'll do it late October for sure. And then late November, I think he might. But then we might have a peak and a surge. And then he'll say, well, the cases are on the rise. So I need to keep this, emergency declaration in place.
That's about money, too, though. Because you're still able to get federal funds.
Oh.
Yeah. What about that?
312-642. Oh, what? What was that? Yeah, it was...
You are spreading misinformation.
Oh, boy.
Oh, so mean. Such a mean man.
It's all about the money.
He is so mean.
Follow the money.
All right, Tom and Oswego, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning, guys. This isn't about health. This is about power and manipulation.
Yes.
And that's just what the IRS code is for. It's about manipulating people's lives. It's not necessarily about collecting money. That's how they control people's behavior. The second question I wish somebody would ask these people is, are they testing the millions of people coming over the border? And if they don't have a vaccine, are they rejecting them? This is ridiculous. Every morning I wake up, I feel more and more like a chump for following the rules, going to work, busting my tail 12 hours a day, making money to pay for all this crap. And it's really getting frustrating, but I guess I don't have a choice. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you know, Tom, it's a good point because I'm such the name assassin, Adrian. The tennis player, if he snuck over the border, you know, if he went down to Mexico and snuck in, he could
be all right.
But he can't fly here legally because he's not from America and he's not vaccinated. So he can't get here to play in the U.S. Open. But if he snuck in through our southern border, he'd be just fine. Pat in Lockport, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. I sounded very Chicago there.
You did.
Hi, Pat.
Yeah. Good morning. You know, it's really miserable to start your day listening to your brain cells pop in your head, but that's life. This crazy mayor, what the hell is wrong with her?
I know.
You are deliberately denying children their education, and then you talk about racism? Who the hell is being affected by this other than little black and brown kids? And then even to deny them to learn online?
I know.
Who the hell do you think you are? But you got your undies in a damn wad over the illegals that are coming in. How are you going to educate them, sweetheart?
Great point,
Pat. Are they vaccinated? Do they have cards? You know, these people make me so sick. And then you get the lion sacks from the CDC and talking about how they changed their definitions, this and that, covering up the VAERS reports. Are these people totally illiterate that they never read anything other than the BS that comes out of the government?
Yeah, Pat, spot on. I mean, think about it. People that are being shipped to Washington, D.C., you know, the illegals, they're not checking their vaccination status, but they are at the schools.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony from Black and Right Radio, Saturdays from noon to 3 right here on AM 560. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I know you had a late night because you were at the Uncle Tom 2 screening.
Yes.
And I can't wait to hear all about
it. It was amazing.
We are going to talk about it. And then you have your boat cruise coming up,
yes,
right?
Yes, September 17th. She kicks off at, I believe everybody's going to be boarding at 11. We sail out on Lake Michigan at 12 noon.
Oh, you know what? Can I go?
Yeah, come on. Come on out.
I love inviting myself to parties. It's all you can eat and all you can drink?
That's right.
Well, I'm already there. Mentally, I'm on the boat already.
For great
information
time.
About that, where do we go?
Go to 560theanswer.com and you'll see my smiley face with the backdrop of the Lake Michigan.
So you're going to have you're going to broadcast live from
broadcast there. Live from Lake Michigan on the Free Spirit Yacht Cruise. My buddies, Captain Joe and Angela.
Okay. I know Angela.
Yeah.
I do yoga. I met Angela in Indiana because we couldn't do yoga here and just ran into her. We went to the same studio.
Yeah. And they have two great boats.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. It's good to have friends with great big boats. All right. I'm sure you've heard the news. Everyone's talking about it. President Biden promising to forgive $10,000 in student loan debt for 43 million Americans. Sounds great, huh? But the plan's coming under fire from really both sides of the aisle. And Pell Grant recipients get $20,000. In student loan debt relief, and the pandemic loan payment pause is going to be extended through December because there's an election in
November.
But I love when politicians get caught in a lie because Pelosi in April said this about what the president's power for debt forgiveness is.
People think that the president of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone. He can delay. But he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress.
Oh.
She's right.
She is right. And Pelosi yesterday, Biden's move to cancel student debt is a strong step in Democrats' fight to expand access to higher education. Oh, I love when the left lies. Susan Rice. Oh, yeah, she's back. Or did she ever really leave?
No, she didn't go anywhere.
She bragged about how canceling all this student loans is supposedly going to benefit millions of Americans. But, ready? She can't say off the top of her head how much it will cost because she doesn't know how many people will take up this opportunity.
And it will be a function of what percentage of eligible borrowers actually take up this opportunity.
$300 billion?
We'll see when they take up the opportunity. We'll be able to give you a much better sense of that.
But are those numbers ballpark at this point?
I think it depends on the numbers. Like, unfortunately, and we're here to encourage as many people to take it up as possible. If 43 million borrowers take it up, that'll be different than if 50% of those 43 million take it up.
If it is 43 million, if I could just follow on, you know, if the full number of eligible borrowers do take advantage of the program, what would the cost be?
I can't give you that off the top of my head.
Phew, with more on this, let's welcome back to the program Jim Urio, analyst for Fox Business and also the owner of Brandt's and Palatine. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me, Amy.
So what do you make of Susan Rice's comment?
I think it's hysterical. Like, yeah, in the end, we'll figure out how much it costs. It seems like great planning coming in. I actually believe that when they try to pass something like this, there's just so many different things that can be attacked from what they perceive as the other side that they hope we get confused deciding on which way to go with it. But let's go with this path. Okay, every rational person would say that the overarching problem here is the cost of college is just skyrocketing over the last 40 years. Since 1980, it's gone up 1,200%, while the CPI, all the other stuff, has gone up 230%. So by their own study, the New York Fed in 2015 came out and said the government being involved in federal loans, for each dollar the government subsidizes the federal loan program, cost of higher education goes up a staggering 60 cents. So they are saying that the federal government being involved in this is driving the cost of college going higher. So now let's look at the symptom. So the symptom is student debt exploding. From 2010 to now, it's gone from $800 billion to $1.8 trillion since the government took it over full on in 2010. So then you have to ask yourself the question, does anything they do just now, and you and I addressed this on Twitter, does anything they do just now, is that going to discourage people from expanding borrowing? Of course not. It's going to do exactly the opposite. So this is a bill that literally both problems, they're going to be exacerbated and made far worse for some temporary, you said the election's in 2 months. I'm not sure why they would choose now to do it, because suggest that it was something nefarious, obviously. But it's completely asinine.
Well, I mean, the Washington Post reported yesterday, as did a number of news outlets, FAFSA, the website that you go to apply for federal student loans, it crashed.
Yeah.
And I know somebody personally whose son went on and took out a loan, even though he doesn't need a loan, but it's tax-free, and it's just free money, so why wouldn't he? I mean, you know, they say the program will end eventually, but I don't think so. I think they'll keep it going until, 2024?
Why would they? I can tell you exactly when it's going to come around again, and that's in August, early September of 2024, before the next election. These people who were challenging you and me on Twitter saying, well, by the letter of this, you know, if they take out loans now, they're risking that it won't happen. They're risking what? Like you said, it's interest-free until they're done. It's not that high of a risk, and it's going to happen. I'd be willing to wager that they are going to string this along every election that they can. Andrew Yang came out and said, one of the prominent Democratic senators, I can't remember which one or if he gave the name, said, realistically, this is an issue that's best left for us politically unresolved, because then they can keep bringing it around again. I think if they just wiped out the $1.8 trillion of student debt right now, then there's no reason to continue voting for them if already you've got yours. But there is something that's a much bigger deal in this, and you've seen it with them going out with the PPP loans and trying to conflate the two and pretending there's a similarity, which is absolutely outrageous and nefarious. But my worry is this, is that we're going to be in a time where everyone's pointing at each other saying, you got yours, I want mine. So instead of being outraged and voting the architects of this nonsense policy out, instead we're going to get caught up in this thing where they're going to come back in, and this will grease the skids for some more universal basic income, which is what they really want to begin with. And that's the thing that keeps me up at night.
Okay, so help us out here. How does this loan forgiveness program work, and who qualifies? Is it based on your parents' income or your income as a student?
No, my understanding is it's based on your income as a student. It's less than $125,000, your income as someone who has left college, because you don't have to pay it back when you're in college. So if you make less than $125,000 a year, you get 10 grand. If you, as a household, you make less than $250,000. The funny thing is, I read yesterday, technically Ron DeSantis qualifies for $10,000 because his household doesn't make $250,000, and he still has $20,000 worth of loans from law school, which I think is very, very funny. And if I was him, I would take it gleefully. When the government decides to give you money, you'll give it. So it's a pretty mixed up thing.
Wow.
I mean, do you think he'll do it? I would. Why not?
I don't know. He wouldn't, because look what they're doing with these
the PPP loans thing. You saw the tweet stream from the White House yesterday calling out these people, which, by the way, Marjorie Taylor Greene taking $160,000. I have no idea what her circumstances was. And there is every bit of a chance that she should be applauded for that if she kept the business going, kept paying people. Remember, it was paycheck protection. Now, all these people who are criticizing it are going back to, well, yeah, it was abused. Of course it was abused. It was a government program. Also, this is a key point, too. The PPP loans came in the wake of the most deflationary decision a government ever made in the cockamamie lockdown. You can't do something like that and not throw money in the system unless you want a deflationary collapse. We're in a much, much different situation now. So they're different in so many ways that it's almost comical to have to argue with these people about them.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, no, go.
Jim, you know, you kind of stole my thunder with the PPP because I followed you, some of your stuff on Twitter, and I was going to come with that, but you stole my thunder there. But let's go back to
that. John.
That's okay.
There's a long list that the White House
to go first.
Yeah.
So you can say all the good stuff.
This is true. But as I look at this, I'm a political, I love everything politics, and I know this is political. But let's go back to what Nancy Pelosi said. Does the president have the power? From my understanding, all he has the power to do is to halt or stop payment. He does not have the power to do loan forgiveness
debt,
or
yeah.
eliminate debt. Is that true?
So supposedly it is true. And supposedly if this gets challenged, it could be held up. Which, by the way, that almost benefits the Democrats, too, because then they can keep saying, gosh, we tried to give you guys money,
and
but these nasty Republicans keep challenging it.
Yeah.
So I think it is true, and I think there's a solid chance that it will be not allowed and struck down and challenged in court. And then it becomes more, I think, a better political tool for the left than it is if they actually push it through. Because the problem is, again, this goes back to this the situation that's best left unresolved, because they can constantly be dangling it.
Yeah, and this is why you never give government new powers. You don't do it. Simply don't do it.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
We've seen this just play out so much. I mean, we gave them power to shut us down for 2 weeks, something that's never been done before. You can't, unfortunately, you have to challenge it every time, because guess what? They don't like to give back the powers they've assumed. Surprise, surprise, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Well, wasn't part of the PPP loan forgiveness to pay your employees who were told or couldn't go to work because the government shut them down?
My understanding is that was the key part of every one of these people who are talking about the PPP loans. I have to assume that they met every one of the characteristics and covenants of the loan. The loan was a forgivable loan if you used it to pay off people. As a matter of fact, like I'm proud at the restaurant because we our situation at the restaurant. We didn't know how long we were going to be shut down for. Again, when they kept saying 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, it could have been forever. We had some key employees that we were worried about. We were paying them out of their own pocket, but we were actually deciding, should we keep doing this and run ourselves into financial problems if the business is just going to go away because we don't see anything beyond the horizon on these lockdowns. So, of course, we applied for the PPP loans, and I'm quite proud of it,
yeah.
And used it to pay for our key employees and keep them around and keep everybody happy so then when things loosened up, we could start going again. We met every bit of what we agreed to. It was a loan that was supposed to be forgivable if you met the criteria. Again, the people comparing these two things, there must be brain damage or something. And I apologize for saying something so crude on air. I apologize.
No, but they're not. You can't compare them at all. And then they're acting as if. And the White House tweeted this out. You guys, I mean,
yeah.
It's the White House did this, and it's not as if they're pocketing the money themselves.
It certainly isn't. And they'll point to, well, it was, you know, there was corruption in it, which, of course, there's corruption in it, the government program. But the fact that they're doing that, this really bums me out, because it's happened a couple times over the last few years, like when certain doctors suggested that one drug may have worked, the drug that we know begins with an I and nobody named it.
Oh, ivermectin.
And then all of a sudden, social media, the government, everybody, like a bunch of hypnotized drones, kept pointing and saying horse. It reminded me of the scene from Invasion of the Body Snatchers when everybody is under some hypnotic trance. And that happens again with the PPP loans. Like, people coming after me, like, you took PPP loans. Like, dude, yeah, I would have taken more, too. Give me another opportunity. I'm glad I took PPP loans, and I'm glad I paid my employees. Quite proud of it.
I didn't know this was Jim from Brent's of Palatine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've eaten there so many times with Aaron Del Mar. So
what's your favorite meal?
I've actually met you before, Jim. But I want to say this real quick.
Have you really?
Yeah, I have.
Next time you come in and identify yourself. I'm sorry that I didn't realize it was you.
Hey, no problem. But I so agree, and I think Reagan saw this generation. He saw this happening, everything that we have today. And one of my favorite quotes from Ronald Reagan, you know, the 9 most terrifying words in the English language. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. I mean, Reagan saw this and knew, and I just hope that the people of this country, the people of this state, will wake up and realize the government is never there to help you. If anything, how punitive they've become over the years, we have to push back. We have to start reminding them who's the real boss.
There's no question about that, John. This thing with trying to shame people for the loans that they pushed 2 short years ago absolutely underscores that. They'll turn on you in a second for their own good, and they won't give back power. The only way, and again, the thing when I talk to my friends on the left, and again, I don't really consider myself a Republican. I consider myself against big government. And these people on the left who are ideologues and worship their politicians and think that somehow they're going to come in office and save us are so misguided. And the part that is amazing to me is that they think that we, who they perceive as the far fringe right, somehow feel that same way about our own politicians. I don't at all. I want less government. I want less government. I want them to have less power. And they're not there to solve any of my problems. I heard it said somewhere before is that the Republicans are not going to solve any of your problems, but the Democrats probably caused the lion's share of those. And I took it with a chuckle. I'm not sure it's 100% true, but it's more true than not.
Yeah. All right, Jim Irio, such a pleasure having you on, and also the owner of Brandt's, and he's an analyst for Fox Business, and all around a great guy, and thank you so much for taking time with us this morning.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, and he joined us on our Turnkey Top Pro Answer line.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Your show keeps me alive during the week. There's nobody I'd rather listen to between 5 and 9 in the morning than you guys.
On AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony from Black and Right Radio, which could be heard here on Saturdays from noon to 3 p.m. And last night you were at the...
Uncle Tom.
Yeah, Uncle Tom 2. Oh, no, don't put that. No, no. Okay, in case you missed it on our Matrix Home Solutions studio, John Anthony walks in this morning with shades on and does the first half hour with shades on.
Yeah.
My eyes were bloodshot red. Your eyes are fine.
They were.
I only have three hours
of sleep.
Welcome to our world of morning radio.
It's okay though. I'm waking up now.
All right, but how is Uncle Tom?
Oh, I'm telling you, it's probably the best documentary I've ever seen in my life, and I've seen a lot of documentaries, and this one, I mean, because it dives deep into the historical aspect of Black culture, at a time when. Despite everything that Black people were going through, oppression and everything, Black people shined. You know, it was. I'm telling you, it talked about the Tulsa bombing and all that. Black Wall Street.
Yeah. You know, and that was 1921.
1921. Yep. So many people talk about how that's where they stop at, that it was bombed. But what people don't realize, in 1925, it revived. Black Wall Street was back
up and running.
Yes, they stopped.
But
we
never learned. These are two things. I'm just going to admit it. Don't hate my high school for this. I never learned ever had heard about Black Wall Street.
Yeah.
Ever did you?
No, growing up in Chicago, CPS. No, I've never heard about Black Wall.
Did you ever hear about Japanese internment camps?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Nothing.
I did hear about that.
Crickets.
Yeah, and I heard about the Freedmen's Bureau too. Freedmen Bureau. Yeah. That's the only thing I ever heard about anything that's related to.
But isn't that strange how, you know, the government doesn't want us to know what the government has done to certain groups of people?
Yeah, well, that's the people who are in support of CRT. That's one of their arguments.
So this morning, or not this morning, in a few hours, we're going to get the information the judge ordered yesterday that the redacted affidavit be unsealed in the Mar-a-Lago raid. It's going to be released no later than high noon Eastern time today. So parts of the search warrant will be blacked out because the government lawyers, you know, made a compelling argument. The judge says that if you know, if it's not redacted, it would identify witnesses and law enforcement and reveal a strategy and sources and methods. So the judge describes it as narrowly tailored.
Oh.
Jared Kushner wants it all out.
And so I think what the judge do is release all the information. This way people can know whether there's a serious allegation or this is more manufactured.
Yeah, because for some reason, the Department of Justice, well, they seem to leak some information. I mean, how do we know that there's 11 sets of classified information in that? Because it's a leak to certain media outlets. President Biden... Wasn't me. I never knew. This is him on Wednesday.
I didn't have any advance notice. None. Zero. Not one single bit.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
I didn't have any advance notice. None. Zero. Not one single bit.
312-642-5600. Turnkey.pro. Answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Not buying that. Well, and I'm not really believing this morning in the FBI because they have another black eye.
Yeah.
They have more egg on their face. Yesterday, Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Facebook, made his first appearance on Joe Rogan's podcast and detailed the circumstances surrounding the platform that suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story in 2020. And you're going to want to lean into the radio to listen to this.
How do you guys handle things when they're a big news item that's controversial? Like, there was a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story. The New York
Post. Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
So we took a different path than Twitter. I mean, basically, the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have... it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant. So our protocol is different from Twitter's. What Twitter did is they said you can't share this at all. We didn't do that. What we do is we have if something is reported to us as potentially misinformation, important misinformation. We also have this third-party fact-checking program because we don't want to be deciding what's true and false. Oh. And for the, I think it was 5 or 7 days when it was basically being being determined whether it was false, the distribution on Facebook was decreased, but people were still allowed to share it. So you could still share it. You could still consume it.
So when you say the distribution is decreased,
it got shared.
How does that work?
It basically, the ranking in newsfeed was a little bit less. So fewer people saw it than would have otherwise. So it definitely...
By what percentage?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it's meaningful. But I mean, but basically, a lot of people were still able to share it. We got a lot of complaints that was the case. You know, obviously this is a hyper-political issue. So depending on what side of the political spectrum, you either think we didn't censor it enough or censored it way too much. But
right.
But we weren't sort of as black and white about it as Twitter. We just kind of thought, hey, look, if the FBI, which, you know, I still view as a legitimate institution in this country, it's a very professional law enforcement, they come to us and tell us that we need to be on guard about something, then I want to take that seriously.
Did they specifically say you need to be on guard about that story?
I don't remember if it was that specifically, but it was. It basically fit the pattern.
It fit the pattern, so this has happened again? Anybody trust the FBI anymore? 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment.
And the FBI knew it wasn't Russian disinformation at the time they went to Facebook. So I'm not having that. This is why I was so against that disinformation board, that the government... I mean, think about this. The government went to a private entity and colluded with them about keeping certain information away from the electorate. Think about that.
Yeah. Think about, there's a string. The Florida school shooting, Parkland shooting, the FBI got sued. They have to pay millions to the victims' family members because they had a laundry list, or grocery list, excuse me, of things and complaints against the Parkland shooter. The Jerry Nassar case. Those girls were re-victimized again. The agents were practically laughing at them while they were telling their story. And once they told their story initially, 22 other girls got molested after they brought their story to the FBI. But this, the Zuckerberg case, I mean, that is... So it's another reason why some Americans don't trust the FBI. because the CEO of Zuckerberg censored the Hunter Biden laptop story for seven days.
And I think it confirms
because
what Trump
has said. FBI requested it.
Yeah, but it confirms everything that Trump has said about the upper echelon of the FBI. You know, I still support. I'm not one for defunding the FBI. I still support the people, what we call the door kickers, the people that are going in. The upper echelon, the leadership, the political class of the FBI, something has to change with that.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. I don't like the fact, though, that people are acting on their own. Like yesterday, a crazy guy was arrested at the FBI field office in Chicago because he hopped a fence and was throwing rocks. Crazy. He didn't have a gun on him, and they took him in for evaluation.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't all with it. Yeah, but we're not into that. We're not promoting that on the show. But if you look at their record and what they've done, I mean, Hillary Clinton email investigation, James Comey dismissal, FBI surveillance since 2010. The list goes on and on. Associated Press impersonation case, Robert Hansen, the Whitey Bulger case. The 1996 campaign finance controversy, Ruby Ridge, Waco siege. It just goes on and on about just investigations that they blundered, but there's also a political motive behind
it. Yes.
I mean, why would they go? The laptop, all the information on that laptop, nothing was nefarious.
Right.
I mean, his activities were nefarious and pictures of young girls and prostitutes and all that. Well, we don't know.
Walking around naked.
We don't know how old they are. Yeah, walking naked, you know, smoking crack out of prostitutes' butt cracks. Did you see that one?
I did. I saw all of it.
I mean, if your child is that sick, and I don't care if they're a 30, 40-year-old man, 50-year-old man, if somebody, you don't put them in charge of energy consortiums in Ukraine or do business in China.
I mean, look at the...
Because they're going to take that money and do drugs with it.
Look at the other aspect of this, though. Foreign governments know this about you, and they can use this. This could have been used as blackmail to the sitting president of the United States.
But maybe that's why they didn't want Facebook or Twitter.
Correct.
Remember Twitter?
Yes.
They took down that story when they did why would he leave his computer in the hands of...
Well, he's a crackhead. That's what crackheads do.
Biden's daughter left her diary somewhere, something like on a bench or something.
Yeah. And then with James O'Keefe, wasn't he raided or something because
of
something?
Yes, they raided his house because of the diary.
Yeah, okay.
So I think the FBI is in bed with the Biden administration.
FBI.
312-642-5600 to the phone lines we go. Bob in Buffalo Grove, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Amy and John.
Good morning.
John, thanks for taking the call. I was planning on discussing this during open mic, but since you're talking about it now, let me offer... This story with Zuckerberg kind of, sort of reminds me of Watergate. June of 72, the Watergate issue came to surface, but the details trickled out, and it took 2 years later for Nixon to resign. Now, I'm not saying Biden should resign, but might he be an illegitimate president? Because the censoring of the Hunter laptop issue surfaced in October of 2020, just before the election, just like Watergate. Now, 2 years later, information on the laptop, and I'm wondering what's buried in there with regards to financial dealings.
The big guy.
Is trickling out.
The big guy needs his 10%.
So I want to, Mr. Big Guy, for the big guy. So I'm wondering maybe in January, do we need a congressional hearing on why in the various players like the FBI, the tech industry leaders like Zuckerberg, and even the legacy media who hid this story effectively altering the election. The results, it's pretty much known that a lot of people would have changed their votes because the Hunter story in the laptop was buried.
I know. If they knew that the big guy had to get 10%, and this after Biden came out and said, I don't know of any of my son's business dealings. And then Biden went on Good Morning America. Thanks, Bob, for the phone call.
Yeah,
Hunter Biden went on Good Morning America and just sat there, you know, showing off his blow art or whatever that thing is, art through a straw. We call it blow art, sure. And just saying, my dad doesn't know about any of my business dealings.
Yeah,
that's like they're gaining access to your father through you, through doing business.
Yes.
Do you think he's some brilliant business mind?
Yeah. No.
Did you go run an energy company in Ukraine? Come on.
Amy, come on, man. I mean, Amy, everything that Joe Biden and his sons and the Democrat ilk are, they try to project onto Trump and his family. Everything. Everything that they are, the Trumps weren't. But they tried to make Trump. Can you imagine the outcry if Don Jr. said the big guy has to get his 10%?
Oh,
it would. I mean, Trump would be in jail by now.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're still trying to put him in jail.
Of course.
And we'll find out today at noon. So 11 o'clock our time.
We won't find
the reason. Well,
they're going to redact so much.
I mean, it can't be that heavily redacted.
It's the FBI way. You know, it's going to be detrimental to our investigation. Come on. No, you don't do what you did.
We should find out the compelling argument for why they raided his home. First of all, they should have sent him a subpoena, not a warrant, you know, to seize the information. But according to these leaks that I read, and, you know, it's just shameless that the feds leaked details of Mar-a-Lago. They said that, according to New York Post, that they gave, according to Washington Post and the New York Times, they published a series of leaks claiming that it was that he was hiding sensitive nuclear weapons material, and detailed how the search was prompted by video surveillance outside the storage room at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
How would they get this information if it didn't come straight from the DOJ? Because it did. Because they're in bed with Biden. They want to make sure President Trump does not run again in 2024. They will stop at nothing.
What about Clinton in the sock drawer?
What's the tapes?
You don't remember Clinton had the tapes in his sock drawer? How will that affect what happened with Trump in Mar-a-Lago? And what about the 30 million documents
that Obama
that
has?
He was supposed to digitize? They haven't been digitized
yet. Obama was supposed to digitize those and what give them to records? The National Archives.
Yeah. 33 million?
I know, 33 million. I thought it was 30 million. Now it's 33?
30 million, yeah. 33, you know, same difference.
But they're in a secure place that they both mutually agreed upon. That's what I was told.
And
it's here in Chicago, too.
So was Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
Remember, Mar-a-Lago was the place that the president went to live while he was still president.
And do you think he's really reading nuclear codes at night? No, please. Frank in Arlington Heights, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning. You know, our federal government is so bloated. It is so, some elements of it at least, are so corrupt that, you know, when a Republican wins, whether it's Trump or DeSantis, the most important thing is not the economy. The most important thing is cleaning this out.
Yep.
It's cleaning out the stables.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I criticize Trump on is his personnel decisions. I don't think he made – I mean, he had a lot of lousy people in there advising him, and they were backstabbing him. And you know, there's always some of that in every administration, but it was way worse under him. And I always remember when I was a kid, I was a teenager, that movie Hoffa with Jimmy Nicholson came out. And I remember in that movie when Jimmy Hoffa won election to the Teamsters, literally he's sitting there in the Union Hall, and he's winning election. They're clapping for him, and he puts down a little piece of paper with a bunch of names on it. I think it was J.T. Walsh played, I forget the character's name, but he goes, fire all these people. These are the ones we fire right away.
Wow.
They're out. And then the other people know that that we support them and that, you know, they're going to be on the team. But fire these people immediately. And that's what has to happen on day one of a new Republican administration, whether it's Trump or DeSantis or whoever it is. These people need to be fired. And if they're challenging it in court, then so be it. But they need to be fired. These bureaucrats have got to go. These people who are abusing their powers have to go. That is more important than anything to the future of this republic, if we're going to have a republic, because it is so corrupt. Everything that is going on, from the CDC to the FBI, it is horrible. Anyway, those are my comments.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate your phone call. But at least Trump surrounded himself. And he himself was a businessman.
Yeah.
Everybody that's in the Biden administration is
academia. Yeah, same Obama.
So they don't know, you know, like give. They're not crunching the numbers and seeing how it's going to affect us, because this student loan forgiveness is going to cost the average American $2,000 extra a year. And with inflation and the price of gas, that's not nobody budgeted for that.
Yeah. Here's a biblical example of what he just said. You go out, you read throughout the Bible. Whenever God sent the children of Israel in there, kill them all. Destroy them. Destroy everybody.
You're listening to Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony in for Dan Proft today. Hey. Dan's hitting a little white golf ball. Oh. Hope he's hitting it straight and long. But yeah, you know, as I tell him, I can't miss you if you don't leave. But thanks for coming in this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And we'll hear about your boat cruise later. You can promote that and talk about last night's screening of Uncle Tom, too. But now we turn our attention to the most pressing question facing us in our time. What city has the worst mayor in America? So let's welcome to the program Scott McKay. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Hey, Amy. Hey, John. How are you guys doing on a Friday?
Good. How's Scott McKay, publisher at The Hayride, contributor to The American Spectator, and author of the recently released The Revivalist Manifesto. Ooh. So, Scott McKay, I'm going to play you some sound bites, and I, you know, people can play along, too, at home. This is first. We'll start with your mayor in New Orleans, Mayor LaToya Cantrell. She was talking about defending herself because she took business class to France. To meet with the people of France because New Orleans has, you know, their culture is French orientated.
Okay.
All right. Hear her out.
In this environment, I do travel business class. Absolutely. I need to be protected. I need to be safe as I do business on behalf of the city of New Orleans. And when you look at mine, I do encourage you to look at other public entities that market the city in order to grow tourism, but even me, growing the economy relative to our culture. So it is my job. I will continue to do my job, and it was absolutely worth it simply because, and you're talking about France. You're talking about France from which we've come, meaning a part of the fabric of the city of New Orleans. You're talking about France that has an ambassador living in the city of New Orleans. You're talking about France that has supported a full-time position on resiliency for the city of New Orleans because we're on the front lines of climate change. You're talking about France that has residents and artists in residence right here in the city of New Orleans, over four of them. You're talking about France that is embedded in the fabric of the history of this city and will continue to be. So me nurturing that relationship is a responsibility that I have as mayor of the city of New Orleans.
I don't know, because you think you're talking about France? You said it nine times. It's France. All right, Scott, here's our Mayor Lightfoot. Question, because during the lockdown, nobody was allowed to get their hair cut, get your nails done, you know, basically live because everything was shut down. But yet she got her hair cut. And then she's dumb enough to put it on social media, her and the person she got her hair cut with, and they're not wearing masks or gloves.
Right.
In the picture, okay?
The woman who cut my hair had a mask, had gloves on. I'm the public face of the city. I'm on national media, and I'm out in the public eye. And, you know, I'm a person who I take my personal hygiene very seriously. As I said, I felt like I needed to have a haircut.
I mean, rules for thee, but not for me. Oh, my goodness. Scott, what do you think?
Well, here's the thing. Let me apologize if I've actually touched off a partisan competition or a regional competition or whatever, because the answer is they're all well below the standard that you need in a city of size, right? I will say this, LaToya Cantrell, if you get the full like daily experience of her, is flamboyantly awful in a way that I'm not sure Lori Lightfoot can match, which is not to say that the damage that these goons can do isn't profound, because it is. And actually, in my book and in the American Spectator column that you guys read and have me on to talk about, I make the point that this is not an accident. It's sometimes it looks like incompetence, but it's not. What it really is something called weaponized governmental failure, because if you intentionally don't do the things that are your job. If you're the mayor, make sure the potholes are filled proper, provide drainage, have a police force that works, all of those kinds of things. if you fail to do that stuff or refuse to do that stuff, what's going to happen is the middle class voters will leave. Oh. And if you're an urban socialist Democrat, that's exactly what you want, because those middle class voters are the ones that will actually turn you out of office. The rich won't, because they can pick up the phone and call and get the pothole in front of their house fixed. And the poor don't really know any better if you govern badly. So if you look at every single city in America of size that the Democrats have taken over, they have run the middle class out and profited politically by it. And then, you know, to boot, we have taxpayers from the suburbs, either through state dollars or federal dollars, subsidizing these cities with, you know, grant money that replaces the tax base that they ran off. And that's how you go from a Mark Morial to a Ray Nagin to a Mitch Landrieu to LaToya Cantrell in New Orleans, and it gets progressively worse.
Well, I'm going to add a third candidate, and that is D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, because come Monday, listen to this, come Monday, she is not letting students into her school, to government-run buildings, if they are not fully vaccinated, which means 40% of blacks age 12 to 17 are not vaccinated and they can't go to school. And have you heard this? They're not giving them any alternative options. There's no, you know, remote learning. There's no books that'll be handed out.
Government forced truancy.
Yeah. There you go. You know what? That right there. Government forced. Here she is. When a reporter asked her about this 40% of the students who are going to be home and a lot of their parents are working, so essentially they're going to be out on the streets.
I don't think that that number is correct. We have a substantially fewer number of kids that we have to engage with vaccination. And I explained why it's important. It's important for the public health of our students and that we can maintain safe environments.
The safe environment is for them to be inside of school and learning, don't you think, Scott?
Well, I mean, given all of the sort of side effects that have kicked in with teenage kids and that vaccine shot, I'm not sure that that's not 100% lie what she just said about the public health of those kids.
But I mean, don't you think? And this is what I argued earlier. Dr. Fauci lives there. Dr. Walensky lived there. President Biden, they live in D.C. This is the time where they should step up and come forward and say, you know what? Madam Mayor, this policy is wrong and is only going to hurt children and put more kids' lives at risk for the chance of being shot.
Yeah, but they can't.
Then why? Because then
would hurt their own credibility having pushed this stuff for 2 years. They can't admit that they're wrong. They especially can't do it prior to a midterm election. The one thing Democrats never do anymore is admit that they're wrong.
Yeah.
They can't. Because the entire facade of political power that these guys operate under is that, well, we're doing things based on the science, and this is, you know, experts are running the country, so, you know, you have to give up some of your freedom because, you know, the experts tell us this is the way. Well, when the experts don't have any expertise and they're wrong and they do things which are stupid, all of a sudden, it's very hard to continue making that argument that people shouldn't have, you know, their own money and their own freedom rather than give it to these, you know, big government type people. I mean, and that's why you can't admit that you're wrong. I mean, the media doesn't admit it's wrong anymore. The government doesn't admit it's wrong anymore. Nobody does.
Right.
I mean, at the very least, somebody's got to get a message to her saying, stop this madness. The fact, too, that, you know, the tennis player. Oh, my God. Why do I butcher his name? Novak.
Djokovic.
He can't play in the U.S. Open because he's not an American citizen and he's not vaccinated. But yet people can come illegally through the southern border and stay here and be shipped to Washington, D.C. and get off the bus and live their life. I wonder if any illegal children want to go to school in Washington, D.C. on Monday and if they'll let them in.
Interesting.
That would be interesting.
That'll be interesting.
There we go.
You can ask Greg Abbott if he's busing any illegal kids to D.C., and they're checking up on them and where they get to go to school, because maybe the bus drivers know. I don't know. But
I mean, wouldn't that be precious?
My guess is Well, my guess is, you know, this will 3 or 4 weeks into the school year, this will just quietly go away,
yeah.
Right? Because you'll have a couple of things on the local news in D.C., nothing national, but a couple of things on the local news in D.C. about all the forced truancy of thousands of school kids at D.C. And they're like, oh, this is, you know, this is kind of inconvenient. And all of a sudden, those kids will be back in school by mid-September, let's say.
Yeah, I hope so.
You know, and then, like, we just won't even know anything about it. And they'll be like, oh, you remember when Muriel Bowser did that? It was like, yeah, whatever happened with that?
Yeah.
Like, that's how that's going to go.
Yeah. I mean, that's more important than the daily shootings that are happening in D.C. right now. I get it. Yeah.
It's the lowest risk group.
Exactly. Scott, you had an article, Student Loan Forgiveness, the Revivalist Way, in the Spectator, right? The American Spectator. I just want to really quickly, because we're, so many people are so focused on Biden, you know, and forgiving the $300 billion. But when I read your article, I just want to rattle off the top five endowments right now. I was shocked that the WHO was number one. The University of Texas System, $69.21 billion with a B, billion dollars. Stanford University, $62.97 billion. Harvard University, $53.2 billion. Yale University, mostly Ivy League schools. Yale University, $44.7 billion. MIT, $42.53 billion.
They should be part of the student forgiveness
problem, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like therein lies the problem.
Well, if I remember the numbers correctly, first of all, 42 of the 50 richest colleges and universities in America, or in the world rather, are American.
Yeah.
And the smallest number of them, the smallest number in that group, still has an endowment of $3 billion.
Sheesh.
Okay. And every one of these places, I mean, University of Texas System, I guess there are campuses in there that are relatively cheap tuition wise, but like the main campus at Austin, if you're out of state, they're going to charge you $44,000 a year in tuition. And yet they got $69 billion in endowment. And, of course, it's worse for a Stanford or a Duke or a Harvard, Yale, Princeton. I mean, you're talking very close to $100,000 a year, $80,000 a year. And, I mean, basically these are hedge funds with a school attached.
Yeah, and my son got into Tulane. It was $82,000 a year.
Wow.
To go.
Absolutely. Tulane and Loyola, just down the street in New Orleans, is $80,000 a year.
What?
It's insane the amount of tuition these guys charge. And look at the endowments.
Yeah.
And we're gonna subsidize, because you think you're subsidizing the students by giving this loan relief. Mm-hmm. You're not. The universities are going to take that as a signal to raise the tuition even more. When they're sitting on a pot of gold and nobody does anything. I mean, I'm half joking saying let's do a, you know, Bernie Sanders wealth tax on these university endowments, but like not all joking, because honestly, something is very wrong in that system when these guys can amass that kind of wealth, not use it to actually help students, right? Other than they go build, you know, palaces on campus.
Right, but how many buildings can you build if you're like, say, Purdue is $6.76 billion. I mean, you can't.
Yeah,
that's just crazy to me that you can't build enough buildings. Like, you can't tear down
enough
dorms.
Williams College has $3 billion. How many students does Williams College even have? Like 3 or 4 thousand?
I don't even think I've heard of
Pomona College.
Pomona.
I mean, I know it's like Rockefeller University in New York. I mean, it makes sense that they would have a big endowment, but I'd barely even heard of that place.
Oh, what's
how good the basketball team is.
U of I, $3.29 billion. $3.29 billion for U of I.
That's chump change.
Yeah.
Okay, compared to Stanford and some of the big dogs like University of Texas. All right, well, Scott McKay.
Well, you know what I noticed? The Florida universities are not in there.
Oh.
Right? Nobody complains about the University of Florida's, you know, academic program. Mm. They think that's a pretty good school. They're not in the top 42.
Yeah,
big
state.
True.
This
All right,
true.
Scott McKay, we're going to have to leave it there for today. He's the publisher at the Hayride, contributor to the American Spectator, and author of the recently released The Revivalist Manifesto. Scott, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
See you guys. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Okay, you too. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
If you're talking about it, Dan and Amy are talking about it. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Friday morning. The sun's starting to come out. John Anthony's here and for Dan Prof today. You can hear him tomorrow from noon to 3.
That's right.
Or is somebody going to be filling in?
No, it'll be me.
You and Verlon or just you?
The Troublemaker. The Troublemaker will be in the studio tomorrow.
Okay, from noon to 3, and you take phone calls too, so that's good.
And actually,
it's a live show, folks.
Yeah, the last couple of months, I've been leaving calls on the board when I leave the studio. Yeah. We've been talking about interesting stuff. You know,
what's on the docket for tomorrow?
Safe Suburbs, Kevin Coyne, he's going to be joining us tomorrow.
Okay.
I got a couple of people that's running for office who wants to join the show. So we got to get these people who ordinarily wouldn't get any press.
Right.
We got to get them press.
The mainstream media is not going to give them
cover
the
them
time of day.
Yes, exactly.
Ooh, Republican what?
Yeah.
All right, so I just informed you that Jill Biden has had a rebound case of COVID.
Yeah.
She's got the vid again, but she's asymptomatic. So it's probably because she took Plaquenil.
Or this.
Oh, yes. Or Balance of Nature. Here you go.
All right, you ready?
We're doing a shot of it.
Yes, shots. Yes.
Oh my God, we're so crazy. But yes, she tested positive. So
that's a little hot.
She's back in isolation again. But remember when they said that if we get the vaccine, you won't get sick.
Yeah.
Just the string of lies that they've been selling us for almost 3 years.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
These vaccines are highly, highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
They're really, really good against variants.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
Get your first shot, and when you're due for your second, get your second shot.
A key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die.
If you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
You know, we didn't have vaccines that block transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce the transmission. So we need a new way of doing the vaccine.
The level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and infected is the same level as the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person.
Reports from our international colleagues, including Israel, suggest increased risk of severe disease amongst those vaccinated early.
And if you look at Israel, which has always been a month to a month and a half ahead of us, they are seeing a waning of immunity, not only against infection, but against hospitalizations and to some extent death. The booster might actually be an essential part of the primary regimen that people should have.
The plan is for every adult to get a booster shot.
Clearly one of the best investments I've ever been involved in.
Isn't that fantastic? With more on this, let's welcome back to the program our good friend, Dr. Richard Bartlett. He practiced medicine in Texas for 28 years and served on former Governor Perry's health care task force. Good morning, Dr. Bartlett. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning.
We want to give the right answer to the people of Chicago. This is the morning answer, so let's give the right answer. Those were all wrong answers, by the way, from Biden, Fauci, Walensky, and Dr. Bill Gates, who's not a doctor, not a nurse, not a chiropractor, not a pharmacist, not a phlebotomist, but kind of like Biden. And so we've learned a lot during the COVID experience of wrong answers and who gives wrong answers. Let's give the right answers this morning on your show. I'm so honored to be with you.
Okay, so what is the right answer about the vaccines? And there's a new one coming out right after Labor Day that's going to, they claim, help if you get the BA4 or the BA5 variant. Do you, because I don't believe anything the CDC says anymore, and I'm struggling with the FBI as well, but would you recommend the booster shot, the new one that's coming out?
Well, as you're talking about what they're saying and promoting, my eyes are rolling, and you can't see that on the radio, so I had to say that. ridiculous. COVID has become less virulent, less dangerous. At one point in the recent past, Fauci said we're out of the pandemic. What? Yeah, that's what he said. So if we're out of the pandemic, he had to walk that back because that really unraveled a lot of things that they have going on. But it's less dangerous. Paxlovid brought us a brand new condition, medical disease, called rebound COVID. Enough said. As a doctor, I have never prescribed it. I never will, because I don't want to give someone the risk of a new problem that we've never seen before called rebound COVID.
So what is, because Jill and Joe Biden both had rebound COVID because they took Paxlovid, which I'm, Paxlovid, excuse me.
You know who else had rebound COVID? Fauci.
Oh, that's right. And the CEO of Pfizer, too. He had rebound COVID, too, right?
Hello. I think, we see it once, twice, 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, to the point that they can't deny it. And now it's the diagnosis of rebound COVID. Give me a break. So I like my patients to get better the first time. I kind of shoot for 100% success. I'm not going to sign people up for a potential rebound disease, no matter what the disease is. Yeah. And so COVID is less dangerous. The virus, the strains of virus, the mutations of COVID that are going around now are less dangerous, less virulent is the medical term, and more contagious. So we're seeing people get it. We're just not seeing the same numbers of people having serious disease, whether they're vaccinated or not. So one of the half-truths that was told is that if you get the vaccine, you will not be as likely to die or be deathly sick in the ICU.
Yeah.
And the rest of the story is no matter whether you're vaccinated or not, you're less likely to die or have serious disease because the virus is weaker. And so that's the rest of the story. Budesonideworks.com is a website that has a lot of facts, a lot of the right answers there. It's a third-party website. Budesonide's an inhaled steroid that costs $3 a treatment if you pay the full cash price. So safe it's used on two-pound preemie babies in the NICU for decades without batting an eye. Okay. $3 a treatment? Give me a break. Yeah. That's why it's not promoted, because nobody's going to get rich off of it.
Oh.
But we already have an answer for COVID. So why would I want to use an experimental medicine that has no long-term safety data called Paxlovid? It has no long-term safety data. Did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
Yes.
And Dr. Bartlett, listen, I have to tell you this. I've been on this show with Amy. This is probably the fourth time that you've been on the show where I've been on. You were right about everything. The CDC recommendations, everything. The treatment. When I got COVID, Amy got me some of the...
I got you Budesonide.
Budesonide, and it worked.
I know. It worked for me, too.
It worked.
John,
yeah.
John, you're still with us. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
One nation under God. There's lots of truths out there, a lot of right answers. And so I'm telling you, hey, let's talk about the latest thing, monkeypox.
Yes.
Tomato flu.
About that for a second?
Yeah, so the WHO is calling for big tech to work to censor monkeypox misinformation. What does exactly that mean?
Well, misinformation, according to them. Oh, by the way, have we heard just a montage of misinformation from the usual suspects a moment ago?
Yes.
We absolutely heard things that were lies. If something's not true, it's an untruth. It's a lie. And so when we were told you get the shot, 100% effectiveness, you're not going to get sick. It'll give you protection. You won't spread it. Biden says if you get the shot, you won't have to wear a mask. Well, Georgetown University didn't get that memo. This morning's news is Georgetown is calling for masks again on people, whether they're vaccinated or not. What planet are they on? Not the planet of the apes, I hope, because monkeypox is coming around. And so when we had one monkeypox case in the United States, hey, the Biden administration spent, they bought 20 million doses. We've got 20 million doses of monkeypox vaccine stored up for the American people. Did you know that?
Yeah, but if I'm not a gay male, do I need to take the monkeypox vaccine?
That is the That is the question, and the answer is that it's an experimental vaccine with no long-term safety data. It's already being reported by Reuters and other mainstream media sources that there's breakthrough cases despite getting the Jynneos vaccine, which
sounds
is the
familiar.
Newer vaccine. And in the ACAM 2000 smallpox, monkeypox vaccine, it says it's a contraindication to get that if you've gotten any vaccine of COVID or otherwise. Hey, most people have gotten vaccines of some kind. So we're seeing a lot of reasons. There's a lot of dangers. And if you go to I'm going to refer everyone to AmericanFaith.com, AmericanFaith.com. They've got a series of articles about the monkeypox vaccines coming out and the risk that's already documented that's in the package inserts about miscarriages, about heart conditions that happen after the vaccines. Have we heard this before?
Yeah, it's the same thing that with COVID, you know, when we were having breakthrough bleeding and miscarriages.
Same song, second verse, miscarriages. That's a problem. Heart disease, that's a problem. Why would we sign up for that? And they say they have no long-term safety data concerning the risk of cancer associated with it or genetic disturbances, and we call it teratogenesis. So, hey, you know, let's use tried and true things. Let's keep things in perspective. If you have that montage with Dr. Tedros talking, who's not a doctor, a medical doctor, not a chiropractor, not a pharmacist, not a janitor in a hospital, he's not a medical person, but his name's Dr. Tedros from the World Health Organization.
He's not a doctor?
He's a doctor, but he's not a medical doctor. People
he's
need
Joe
to
Biden.
Know that.
Joe Biden, basically.
Yeah, I'm talking about Dr. Tedros from the World Health
Organization.
Oh, no, we're familiar with his work.
Yeah, very, very. What I'm saying is just like Joe Biden's a doctor, but not a medical
doctor. Right, yeah. She's her PhD.
Right. Details, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, the bottom line is he says in that montage, in his video, 98% of the people who've tested positive and have monkeypox are males who have sex with males. And then there's this great concern that there might be focus on that fact. And so they say, well, you can get it from towels or linens or from hugging or kissing. Okay, I'm just going to say this, John. It's not the men who share towels with men club that are getting monkeypox. It's not the men who hug men that are getting monkeypox. So let's just be really honest here. And so when Walensky called out the fact that we've got several cases of children who have tested positive for monkeypox, and they've traced them back to their contacts being the men who have sex with men. I think that needs some more answers for the public.
And then there's that dog. There's that Italian greyhound that had the first...
Who sleeps... Who's, literally, they say... They
cohabit.
Say in the articles, it literally sleeps with the two gay men in Paris.
Yeah, they cohabitate. That's what they said. That they sleep
with
them.
Face.
I know. But so is the monkey, and this is kind of a gross question. So, John, if I'm offending you, please.
Please. Me
plug
offended?
Your ears.
Please.
Is monkeypox transmitted through semen?
It's in blood and body fluids, and that is very common.
Yes.
It's very parallel. There's a lot of similarities. I'm just going to say there are many similarities with HIV.
Right.
And so, how can you deny that? Both are, there's definitely a population that's at increased risk. Did I mention that Dr. Tedros said it with his own mouth that 98% of the cases are men who have sex with men?
Yep.
At least 98%. And so, and I say at least. Now, does that mean that everybody that gets it is going to be men who have sex with men? Well, that seems to be the major risk situation that's being called out by all parties. But the World Health Organization wanted to change the name of monkeypox. I don't
right.
know if you heard that.
Oh, yeah, but they never got around to that. Were you offending the monkey? I mean, whatever happened to that?
Black people.
I think that they had to do that because it didn't sound scary enough.
Yeah.
I mean, monkeypox. Think about it. It's hard to get really excited about a term called monkeypox.
Hey, it's better than tomato flu.
Yeah, what is it? What is tomato? Can you help? Because John came in this morning early and said, "Tomato, we got to worry about the tomato flu." And I'm like, I want tomato soup. Wait, what are you saying?
John. Hey, just one pandemic at a time, please.
Well, wait, what is this tomato flu? If I eat a tomato, am I going to get the flu, or what is this?
It's like foot and mouth disease.
No, we'll go. I'll tell you what. Invite me back another time because we don't got enough time to dig into that. Because I got to complete this monkeypox story.
Oh yes,
you know,
go on.
20 million doses of vaccine for the American people. Don't cut in line for the monkeypox shot. That's my message to the listeners.
Okay.
It has no long-term safety data. It has an associated risk with heart disease that's being uncovered. Most people are not at risk of getting monkeypox.
I'm not at risk.
So if you got to do a risk-benefit analysis, and if you get the monkeypox shot, my understanding is because there's no long-term safety data, you are signing up to be in a human experiment, in human experimentation. And I've heard report after report that people who got the COVID shot and died related to the COVID shot, that their life insurance did not pay because they had complied with they volunteered for a human experimentation by doing what they were told to do over and over and over again, get a COVID shot. Right. And so people aren't being told the whole story. So if you want to be a part of a human experiment, if you want to just go ahead and cut in line for a monkeypox shot, be aware of these things, that there is a risk, a real risk that's already being uncovered. And as far as the benefit goes, it's already being reported by Reuters and many other sources of breakthrough cases, meaning that you're not protected from monkeypox even if you get the vaccine.
Okay. All right, Dr. Richard Bartlett, we're going to have to leave it there, and I know you've got another hit to do on radio. And practiced medicine in Texas for 28 years and served on former Governor Perry's healthcare task force. Thank you, as always, Dr. Bartlett. We appreciate it.
And was right from the beginning.
Hey, God bless y'all, and God bless Chicago.
We need it. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
This is the morning show. More Chicago radio listeners are choosing. This is Chicago's morning answer on AM 560. The answer.
Open mic. Open mic Friday. Call in now. Open mic Friday.
All right, we're going to start with some information that I don't know if you guys know. And if you don't know this, I want to be the first to tell you. DHS has officially shut down the disinformation board after 3 months of being put on pause. Our girl over there, her name is Nina Oh, my God. Justin, can you help me? You told me what it was. Jankowicz was in charge for a little bit, and she put out this goofy video, and I mean absolutely psychotic. Cringy. This is a grown woman.
In this environment, I do travel business
class. Oh, boy, that is not it at all. Thank you. This is it.
Overing is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious. It's how you hide a little idle lie. It's how you hide a little idle lie. It's how you hide a little idle lie.
When
Rudy Giuliani shared bad intel from Ukraine, or when TikTok influencers say COVID can cause pain, they're laundering disinfo when we really should take note and not support their lies with our wallet, voice, or vote. Oh, information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origin seems slightly less atrocious.
That's cringy.
You know who she reminds me of? Emily Landon.
Oh.
That wouldn't pass if she's University of Chicago epidemiologist or virologist, one of those. That's something she would do because it's about them. It involves theater and involves really being dramatic. So, yeah, she was had to resign, though, by the way, because of her past tweets and statements regarding Hunter Biden's laptop and Christopher Steele and the author of so-called The Steele Dossier. She tweeted out all this stuff because she's, you know,
let me guess,
on Team Biden.
Let me guess.
What?
She said it all was, all of that was disinformation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she, she's gone.
Sounds about right.
And I'm sorry to say the disinformation board is now kaputs. Before we take your phone calls, one more thing I want to bring you is Karine Jean-Pierre, KGP.
Hey.
You know, quadruple threat.
You've arrived when you got three initials.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But she's not doing so well at her job. And this was what happened yesterday in the White House briefing room. Out of control press conference.
That we can go, we can go back and forth on it. We can go back and forth on it. I was supposed to go to Chris in the back, and I skipped him, so I'm going to go back to Chris.
Good luck with getting Chris in the back.
You're not being respectful. Go ahead. To your colleagues, to your own colleagues. As you see, I jump. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Respect your colleagues. Respect your colleagues. Go ahead, Chris.
Different networks are just yelling.
Will the president reach out to Senator Schumer about scheduling a vote on that marriage bill when the lawmakers return from...
I'm sorry, Chris. You're going to have to start from the beginning because there was some disrespect happening.
This reminds me of Richard Irvin's press conference, the first time he met with the media. People just screaming, shouting things, and she has lost complete control.
She had to be talking to a conservative outlet, right? There's no way she would talk to someone that's on her side like that, right?
I mean, it was, I don't know what was going on there. All right, 312-642-5600. Let's go to Elliot, who saw Uncle Tom 2 last night. Good morning, Elliot. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. I just wanted to call and thank John Anthony for the evening. It was not just seeing Uncle Tom 2, but he had the filmmaker and some other guests up for a panel. It was just a wonderful evening. I'm recommending Uncle Tom 2 to everybody I'm running into now. And we need to find ways. There's some difficulty on YouTube with getting it.
Yeah.
Perhaps you can explain again.
Yeah, how can we see it? I should be looking this up.
YouTube
Justin
was...
Quinn, if you can help a sister out. Because we should promote it if it's, you know, as good as you say that it is.
It's definitely better than one. Thank you so much for the compliment, Elliot. I mean, I think the documentary speaks for itself, though. You know what I would love to do? I don't know if Black White Marcus or Jeff's listening. Uh-huh. I'd love for me and Maze Jackson to do something in the city of Chicago with this.
Oh,
Maze, let's do it.
Is Maze Jackson? Maybe we can have him on Tuesday.
He's doing
when
great.
You fill in next
yeah.
week.
Yeah.
Let's just fill out the show now. We can have him on. That'd be great. Thanks, Elliot, for the phone call. Let's go to Eduardo in Midway. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yeah. Good morning, Amy and John. I was in California, Santa Barbara and Palm Springs, and I saw a lot of cars, and I think they're not going to be too happy to get rid of those gasoline cars. And remember also, they wanted to keep track of your mileage. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. The mileage tax.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, they want to get rid of gas operated cars by 2035. You can still, if you own one, you don't have to turn it over, and you can still buy used cars that work on gasoline. Thank you, Governor. I appreciate that. I can keep my car. Oh, that's so nice of you. But yeah, didn't you seriously see so many electric EVs out there when you were there?
No, I saw more gasoline cars out there. Yeah.
Oh, I was surprised where I went.
Yeah,
I went to
Santa Barbara and Palm Springs. Yeah, I saw bumper to bumper traffic.
Oh, the traffic is so bad. Yeah. It's unbearable. I don't know how they do it, but
wait till you take Jim's
thanks,
call.
Eduardo.
Wait till you take Jim's call about this, about the bill just for the battery.
Oh, really?
I mean, you're going to force people to buy an electric car at what cost, though?
Oh, it's ridiculous. There's not enough, you know, precious metals. It's a big ask. And then if everyone did get electric cars, which 5% of the population has. And when I was in California, people are lined up to charge their car. Mm. Yeah, there's the infrastructure is completely not there. No. Let's go to Jim in South Elgin. Good morning. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Well, good morning and nice show. It was a great event last night to see Uncle Tom 2. I highly recommend it. It was very interesting to see the history of Booker T. Washington, whose people after him went to create a lot of buildings and infrastructure. And the guy who founded the NAACP, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, went on to talk about socialism. So that was a good dichotomy that I wasn't quite aware of. So it was good to see that, and that needs to be taught. But, this morning I was going through some pictures, and I saw this bill from a Chevy dealership down in Naples, and it was like about $29,000. The battery part was like $26,000 something. I called the dealership. I said, is this an accurate price for these batteries? He said, yeah, they're about that. And he said, the Tesla batteries are 20,000 to 30,000. And he said, after about 70,000 to 70,000 miles, he said, these batteries aren't any good. You know, they wear out. And so if you don't replace them, then, you know, your car's becomes a little ornament for your front yard. And he said, well, a lot of people are doing, they're keeping these cars for 3 years and they trade them on, so they don't have to worry about the battery. But then, of course, the person that buys the car has to worry about the battery. So all green energy means it just costs you more of your own green to purchase these things. So stay away, and we got to reverse the stupid trend.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Jim, for the phone call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Bill in Waukegan. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning, Amy and John. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I'm not one of the vulnerable people that might get monkeypox, but if the guy's bigger than I am, I may contract that disease. Oh, so thank you for taking my call. Have a great weekend.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Are we going to get in trouble for that?
Bubba.
Oh, my God. Boy, thanks, Bill. I think for the phone call.
Oh,
let's go to Kim in Northwest Indiana with some good news. Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
Good. So I just want to let you guys know that you have that NJ diet that you advertise. It does work. I went on the program. I lost a total of 33 pounds. And it's been 3 months, and I have kept it off.
Oh,
so if anyone's skeptical out there, you're not hungry. It's everything that they say. It is wonderful.
Oh, good for you. That's a huge accomplishment, so I'm proud of you. That's great. Yeah. Good for her.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How much you pay her?
So,
say that,
and I don't do the NJ diet.
No, that's Dan.
Yeah, that's Dan, but still.
I know somebody that's on it. It really works.
Yeah. How do you – I know they take your blood sample and hair sample and – And besides that, I don't know.
Are you about to take a call?
No, but what do you want?
You know, I was with, I was just with Pastor Randy Bland yesterday, right?
Uh-huh.
They were given a huge building out in Manhattan area. What he's doing down there with Grace Association, Amy, it's really, really good. I think going to change the educational community here in the state of Illinois. Especially as he continues to blossom. He has 4 schools now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I met you, Reverend. I like him. Yeah. He's been on the show, too.
Yeah, he has. So I just wanted to give him that shout out because the work he's doing, because they're now fixing up the Manhattan building, hoping to open up September 1st.
Okay.
So if you live in the area, go down.
Yeah, so your kids start. Did they already start?
They've already started.
Yeah.
Yeah, all 4.
Can I remember when you guys had school and no masks?
Yeah.
And we were still masked and in the basement.
Yeah, no masks.
I didn't want to hear about it. Like, I don't want to know. How the other half live. All right, quickly, let's go to Lorna and Elgin. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi, Amy. I just wanted to see if I could find out the name of the medicine that the doctor was recommending, and also let you know that you can buy those great big boxes of goldfish at Walmart for $6.88 a box.
That's good. Okay, because where I shop, it was $11.92.
I remember you saying that.
What?
Yeah, I took a picture, too. I tweeted it out because it's unbelievable. Okay. It's Budesidine. Budesidine.com.
Budesidine.
Use it in a sentence.
Boy,
country of origin.
You chose the wrong person to ask this question.
Country of origin.
Budesidine. Well, you spell it. Can you Google it over there?
Budecinide.
I don't think there's a C in it. There you go, Amy.
Budesonide.
You got it over there.
No, hold on. Seriously, you know what, Lorna?
Yeah.
Stay on the line. We're gonna put you on hold.
Okay.
And I will get back to you. So hold on.
Okay.
Nobody wants to listen to us going trying to spell. All right,
I got it.
Oh boy, Roland in Arlington Heights. Hi, Roland.
Good morning, guys. Okay, modern geography lesson.
Oh, boy.
Okay, you have the state of Indiana, okay? Northwest of that, you have the state of Wisconsin. Southwest of there, you have the state of Iowa. South of there, you have the state of Missouri. Southeast of that, you have the state of the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
Okay.
And in the middle of it, you have the state of emergency.
Okay.
Illinois.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Rollo. We got you. Thank you so much. Here, quickly, Lorna, if you're listening, it's budesonide. B-U-D-E-S-O-N-I-D-E, budesonide.com. Budesonideworks.com.
It does work, though.
It does work. Oh, it's the best thing in the world. All right, let's get out of here with our one and only, our favorite, Chuck in Delavan, Wisconsin. Hi, Chuck. How are you? What do you got going this weekend?
Man, you're hitting the nail right on the head. That Budesonide was one of my garage bands in high school. I want to thank everybody that came to the Venetian Festival last week. Because of you at WIND, I am royalty. I was out on the dance floor, and I had probably 10 of your listeners come up to me and say, "Are you Chuck from Delavan?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And I want you, Amy, to pat me on the back for not saying anything about the FBI going through, I didn't mention it, through Melania's panty drawer.
You mentioned it now.
I didn't do that this time. I didn't do it this time. So You guys have a great weekend. And everybody, thank you for coming up and having a big party with us last weekend.
All right, bye-bye. Chuck. You're the best.
Listen to Dan and Amy on your smartphone. Download the AM560 mobile app today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.